Hi, I'm Lakshmi Singh.
And I'm Duane Brown.
We normally bring you the NPR newscast each hour, but today we're here with something different.
That's right. We're sharing some recent NPR donor comments from listeners all across the country, like William in Arizona. He donated because the truth matters. I couldn't have said it better myself, William.
Anita in Maryland says, free and fair news is important for me and those in my diverse community to thrive and understand one another.
Biora in Florida donated to support, quote, dependable, informative, brave reporting. I could go on and on.
Okay, we'll end with Joe in Kentucky, who says, I can't imagine a world without public radio.
If you can't imagine a world without public radio either, please join the community of NPR network supporters and give to this station today.
Here's how, and thank you.
Make your donation at wjffradio.org.
Minna Traugott was at the original Woodstock Festival in 1969. This summer, she returned for the first time in 56 years for a very special tour.
Everybody says, well, everybody was nude at Woodstock, right? And I'm like, no. I didn't really see that. I saw it in the movie. But no, it wasn't rampant.
This Woodstock anniversary weekend, take the tour with Minna on the Woodstock Lost and Found podcast at WJFFradio.org. Only from Radio Catskill.
Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character. I'm Donna Fellenberg. Today, the show is coming to you from Bethel Woods, and it's a glorious day. We're about to celebrate the 56th anniversary of the Woodstock Music and Art Fair, held right here in Bethel, New York, from August 15th through the 18th, 1969, on 300 acres of Max Tasker's 600-acre dairy farm. I've been on the air for 10 years, and those of you who listen frequently know that I was at Woodstock because I do talk about it sometimes. And I'm thrilled to be living so close to the place where my life shifted for the better. I'm very happy to have been given the chance to be here at Bethel Woods with my friend Valerie Mansi, cultural reporter for Radio Catskill, and Genevieve Hartnett, media intern at the station this summer, who's recording us and has asked several of her own questions as we traipsed around Bethel Woods, hosted by Mackenzie Peck, who is the communications manager at Bethel Woods. The show today consists of recordings done at the glamping tents. There is also a terrific, fun interview with a man named George Frankel, who was a Woodstock alum, and he says it changed his life, which you will hear him talk about. I hope you enjoy the show, and I wish peace and love to all of you.
Hey everyone, it's Donna Fellenberg here from Catskill Character on Radio Catskill. And I'm up here today with my good friend, Valerie Mansi.
Hello folks, this is Valerie. You know me from Radio Catskill.
She is the cultural reporter.
That's correct.
And there's nothing more cultural up here than Woodstock and anything to do with Woodstock. We have with us today, very fortunate, Mackenzie. Introduce yourself, please.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie Peck. I'm communications manager here at Bethel Woods. Happy to be showing you around.
Very good. So what we're going to do, folks, we're going to start with the glamping tents. If you don't know about glamping, Val looked up glamping, and she actually has something that she wrote down. It won't take long. Bethel Woods offers all kinds of camping, so we'll start with the glamping.
Okay, so as you probably know, glamping is a portmanteau of the words glamorous and camping. Okay, got that. It came into the vocabulary in 2006 in Great Britain, and then in 2018 or 19, it got added to the Oxford English Dictionary. But it goes back to 1512, and before the Ottomans did glamping, various leaders, if they went on retreats or were part of a war party, there was glamping, there were safaris. Now, the glamping in the old days was like replicas of their palaces. And then in the current years, it's become popular again, had a resurgence. From what I've read, because of COVID. So here we are glamping right here in our own hometown.
Thanks, Val. We're going to go into a typical glamping tent, right? And Mackenzie's going to tell us all about it.
So last year was our first year with the campsite. This year's our second year, and we're really excited because folks don't have to be attending a show in order to stay here. So people can extend their stay in addition to a show night, which is really nice. Then folks can kind of explore the area, check out the Delaware, things like that. It's really cool.
Do you have excursions that you plan for your guests who are glamping, or do they just do it all on their own?
It's mostly on their own. We have done a little bit of programming, like yoga and stuff like that. There was line dancing for a country show. But I think mostly we're focusing on the pavilion shows and people going out and exploring the Catskills.
Well, this is an interesting door.
Let me take my shirt off here.
You got to have a little muscle to get into this tent.
Just a little bit of a process.
Now, when people come, that you said that the they can come at 2 o'clock.
Are all the
Are all the tents that are going to be occupied open for them, or do they have to do it themselves?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I'm usually not here at 2 o'clock. I'm usually in the office. Okay.
Wow.
But we make sure it's nicely appointed.
That sound you hear is Mackenzie pulling very hard on the Velcro openings that keep the tent flap closed.
You're just getting the behind the scenes here. All right.
All right. Do you want to carry me over the threshold?
I wonder if maybe we don't want the AC for sound, but there is AC.
AC, wow.
Yeah, so we've got 2 bedrooms, fully furnished. We're very proud of our bathrooms here.
Wow.
Is that gorgeous?
Yeah.
So we've got a full shower in here. I don't know if you call that full shower. We've got a shower, actual shower.
Full enough for us.
That's right.
Proper toilet and all. It's really nice with the kitchen too. Nice accommodations.
Where's the kitchen?
Just right this way.
Oh, there's an actual kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
So what I think is great is you can bring your own food, your own beverage, settle in, and have a pre-show party, a post-show party.
And you don't have to drive.
Exactly. Can you imagine after the show is over, you just walk right here you're done while everybody's getting to their cars and whatnot? Like, that sounds
it's
dreamy.
It's like being at Woodstock, going from the site back to your tent where everything was wet. So that's not going to be the case here. Is there a range of prices for the glamping tents, or are they all the same price?
There is a range. I'm not prepared with all the information for it. But especially compared to the Bell tents as well, you've got a bit of a variety for price range. Multiple bed options, especially in the Bell tents. And then the camping across the street where you've got more basic, get your tent and your car over there. Mm-hmm. And folks with their RVs.
Where do the RVs park?
Across the way in historic camping.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's really where people slept. In 69.
Yes.
That's where my friends were.
I was here.
That's so amazing. So are you planning on coming for anniversary week?
Well, I live up here, so
we've got a lot planned, let me tell you.
Yeah?
This is Donna Fellenberg, host of Catskill Character on Radio Catskill. And if you've been listening, as Mackenzie just said, they do have a lot planned here at Bethel Woods for the Woodstock anniversary weekend, which is August 15th through the 18th. If you're interested, just go to the Bethel Woods website, bethelwoodscenter.org, and go to events to check them out.
Donna, you said you were here at the original Woodstock.
I was. I think we got here on Thursday, actually, but it was still very crowded.
Yeah.
And that I saw the gates go down, and I still have my ticket.
What does it feel like? I mean, it's a drier day today than that weekend was, but what does it feel like being here, seeing the glamping and seeing how it's changed?
Well, it doesn't bother me at all because I thought the glamping on the site where everybody was sitting, and that kind of bothered me a little bit. This is so remote from there. I think it's fantastic, and just like Mackenzie was saying, you can go see a show, and then you can come here and relax, go to sleep. You're fresh for the next morning, whatever activities you're going to do. I think it's great.
Yeah. What's your best memory from the original Woodstock in 69?
My best memory, I have two best memories. The first one was as soon as I pulled my car in, people converged on the car and said, "Do you need any help?" And I didn't put my tent up. Other people that I've never seen again put my tent up. So I thought that was really nice. And then the whole time I was here, I never went to the site. I just walked around and I met people from all over the place. And it was just amazing. So you asked me, what's it like for me when I come back here? It's heartwarming. And it feels like coming home. It's great.
Yeah, thank you.
People don't understand that. You know, you had to be here. But I think people say the same thing that I'm saying. And other people made me think, oh, that's a little corny. But no, seriously, that's what that's what it's like.
Thanks so much.
Okay. You know, you say it's corny, but I don't know. I think people these days really want to hear about stuff like that.
I mean, I don't think it's corny. I think other people might think it's corny.
Right. I think people are hungry for that kind of feeling right now.
Yeah.
And just the feeling of community and people
yes.
caring about each other.
Yeah.
So there we got some gorgeous campfire pits, but we don't allow open flame. You can have a gas grill.
Uh-huh.
So having that is nice for the ambiance
yeah.
and more safe. let's see.
So I'm down here with my pals from WJFF and Mackenzie from Bethel Woods, and we're actually in the tent situation, the tent areas. And the thing that I found amazing was each tent has a number, and then those numbers coincide with the number on the little bathroom. So everybody gets their own bathroom. Now that is, that's pretty cool.
Right? Smart.
Solves a number of problems.
Yes. Number. Very good, Val.
Wow.
We may be old, but we ain't dead.
True.
Okay, you're about to hear us roll up in our trusty golf cart driven by Mackenzie right by the stage area that, for some reason or other, I always call the site.
So that's it, huh?
That is where it all happened, and we actually, with the lawn mowing, we cut a peace sign in the side of the hill. It's really beautiful. You'll be able to see it in just a sec here. Really lovely. And when we have musical acts come by, they just get so excited and animated about being able to walk on this field and to stand where the stage was. Like, the Struts were just here, and they were just so thrilled. They posted videos about it and everything. It was really cute.
Are you actually getting this week?
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Yep. Like I say, I'm happy to answer questions yeah. twice if you need, especially with the sound.
I think we're going to take a break here, but first I want to thank Mackenzie Peck, Communications Manager at Bethel Woods, for driving us around on the golf cart and giving us our own personal tour of the glamping tents, and she also took us to the museum and the monument site. Thanks so much, Mackenzie. I really appreciate it. We'll be right back with our conversation with George Frankel, a Woodstock alum who visits the monument. It's almost like a pilgrimage for him every year during anniversary week and has so much to share with us. So stay tuned. You've been listening to Catskill Character with me, your host, Donna Fellenberg, right here on WJFF Radio Catskill.
Radio Catskills' Donna Fellenberg camped out at the original Woodstock Festival, and she did not like it. Her opinion of what camping is like there now is a little different.
I think it's fantastic. Like being at Woodstock, going from the site back to your tent where everything's wet. That's not going to be the occasion here.
Camping and glamping at Bethel Woods. Hear our exclusive report on the Woodstock Lost and Found podcast at WJFFradio.org.
Hey, it's Peter Sagal. You may already know that Congress has ended federal funding to public media, but no matter what's happening in Washington now or in the future, this station's best bet is you. Making a donation, that's great. Making a monthly contribution, even better. Knowing we can rely on you helps in uncertain times. Take control of this station's future. Become a sustaining member today. Here's how.
Donate now at WJFFradio.org.
Well, we found our first victim.
That would be me.
Yeah, it would be you. Give us your name, sir.
My name is George Frankel, F-R-A-N-K-E-L.
And George, you said you were here at Woodstock in 69. Where did you come from?
Came up from Long Island.
From Long Island. And are you living here now?
Yes.
Do you come here often?
Once a year.
Once a year. Yeah, it's quiet here today, right?
That's because it's next week is the anniversary.
Yeah, that's right. It's not the actual anniversary. So what was your experience like? Did you pitch a tent? Did you come on a motorcycle? Did you sit over there?
No, I came in a 1949 Caddy.
Coming in style.
I like that. Yeah. Wow.
Put a big box on the roof with all my gear. And what happened was we were up on 17 and they had closed the exit to get here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was a little bit older. I wasn't really a kid then. And I went up to the next town and stopped at a hospital up there. And there was a nurse up there, had a grandfather, had a campground back in here somewhere. Gave me directions, so we went there and spent that first night in the campground. It was actually before. It would be a Thursday, because we got here Friday. So this farmer would take the hay wagons, load them up with local people, and drive down there and look at the freaks, okay? So we talked to him. He said, if you're willing, you can drive across this pasture, over a creek, and come out of the woods. And we landed right here.
Oh.
We parked right behind the bandstand.
You're kidding.
Well, just like that. It was like nothing.
Did you get to talk to any of the bands?
Actually, for me, personally, my experience was I came here for the music and then got involved with the people. You know, you don't see it now, but on that side of the road was all woods. And I guess there's still some there. And in those woods is where they had makeshift stages. And that's where Lisa Law did all the food, giving away all the food. Right? She was in there. And it was shady. Cool.
Shady, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, the sound was incredible. You just, no matter where you went, you could hear it. And I was not going to sit out there.
Mm-hmm. I hear
shoulder
you.
Shoulder to shoulder with 400,000 people all doing what they do.
Yeah. And that was before COVID.
Oh, yeah. Way before COVID, yeah.
Can you imagine 400,000 people and there's COVID?
Yeah. That would go been. Anyway.
Yeah, I would have gone.
Why wouldn't you? So
you come back every year. It's almost like a religious experience, right?
Well, that's
so
exactly
cool.
Right, because it took me a while to figure it out. There's a lot of people, I think, just came here, experienced the music, went home to Connecticut, and that was it. Very great show. But for me, it was transitional. Because at the time, I was living in Long Island in the suburbs, and there wasn't anybody like me around. You know, so I get here, it's 400,000. Like me.
Mm.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What does that mean, like you?
Oh, a freak.
You're not a freak. How are you a freak?
That's what they called us.
You were a hippie.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And what were you doing for a living back then?
You're not going to believe it. I was a cop. So I was a cop, and let me see. I got here in August, quit that job almost immediately, and then started doing other stuff. Driving school buses and just stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't fit anymore.
I guess you met a lot of people who were like-minded. And
well, that was the whole point.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the suburbs, you know, like everybody. I don't know where you're from, but I was in Lake Ronkonkoma at the time. You know, I grew up in Levittown, anyway. So, you know, it was a typical, you know, suburbs deal. And there's very nobody around like me. Then to get here and to see the place packed, it's quite something, yeah. So, 56 years later, here I am.
Yeah, here you are. Thank you so much for talking to us. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Hey, let me think about that for a second.
Okay.
Let me see, what would I add to that?
What about being here made you change?
It's religious. It's spiritual.
was about community and people.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like I said, it was transitional for me. It was like, just changed every way I lived after that. I got left the suburbs, bought a small farm in upstate New York. You know, the usual nuts and berries stuff, you know? They got gardens and animals and and then wound up, there's a bunch of people that were already up here that had small communes and stuff like that. So it was great, you know? So I found some of my tribe, if you would.
Yes, exactly.
And it worked out very nicely.
Nothing like being with your own tribe.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm an antique at this point.
This is Donna Fellenberg with the Catskill character team, Valerie Mancy and Genevieve Hartnett. And we've just been speaking with George Frankel, a Woodstock alum, who in the following segments is going to talk about various memories from Woodstock.
When Santana was here, they did not have a record on it. Santana was here because the guy that promoted the Dead said, if you want the Dead, you got to take Santana. Dead turned out to do a lousy show. Santana was like a star. Mm-hmm. And then the movie just put him over the top. You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's how that worked. So it's never pictured, but when they built this stage, they built it, maybe 8-10 feet high, so people wouldn't climb up, right? So there was like wood planking all the way around, just like a wall. And when Santana played, the people moved to that wall and were pounding out the beat. You could hear it forever, you know, it was incredible. In the woods, Lisa Law was in there, and she's the one who went to New York, picked up all the food. This is the East, right? Well, they're from the West, and they have a thing called granola. Mm-hmm. Prior to them coming here, people in New York, I don't know what granola was. And they fed you that, so they fed it in a cup. Go, what is this?
And they were making it over there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, tubs of it. Yeah, it was great. So. Yeah. Walking right over here, and Wavy Gravy's walking up the hill. He had a white coveralls and a hat like this, and he's skinny then, not even anymore, right? So, and he had his wire with a banana on it, right? So I knew who he was. You know, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm walking my banana. That's my big conversation with Wavy Gravy. It was fun, you know. But that was the whole thing. It was very, very lighthearted. And the other thing is that when I first came here, we had spent the night in the campgrounds. We got here real early. This whole hill, people were here and they had campfires. So it was, all the campfires were dead, but the smoke was coming up. It looked like the end of the world. And people were like, came here like, this is it. And I think, this is me personally, I have nothing to base this on. People were peaceful and kind and pleasant because I think they were nervous about the numbers. They knew that if anything went sideways, it'd go real bad.
Yeah.
So everybody was, and that kind of, I think that kind of caught on. And the other thing that was really cool, they had a bunch of guys on bikes. I have a picture of it somewhere. There's a state trooper on the back of a motorcycle with a hat and a whole bit. And there's a guy running the bike. He's got a blunt as big as your arm, smoking dope. And that wasn't legal, man.
A lot of that going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, now it's legal, man. I'm telling you, go to these concerts, like a blue haze. Incredible. They smoke a lot of dope, you know, but that's all right. It's up to them. Well, I still go to a lot of music stuff, and I really do like going to concerts of this variety, like 3 or 4 days at a clip.
Yeah.
I just got finished with one in by Buffalo. It was a 3-day place called Blue Heron Music Festival, and you know, when I say music is Americana, you know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a combination of that. It had reggae, jazz, bluegrass, 3 days. It was fun.
The Blue Heron Festival?
Yeah. It's Sherman, New York, just south of Buffalo.
And that's every year?
It's up to 30 years now.
Oh,
yeah,
God, so.
But this is the
out.
First year I went there. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, this is the first time I'm hearing about
it. Yeah, well, it's big. It's about 10,000 people.
Mere drop in the bucket.
Nothing, right? The best part of this thing is that after all was said and done, all the bills were paid. Nobody got left hanging because they made the money off the movie and stuff. And then this whole field, you can imagine, after it was over, it was just trash. I mean, literally, this deep.
Oh, yes.
Right? So they restored the whole thing, paid all their bills, and I don't know how many outfits still do that, but not too many. So next week the place will be packed over here.
Oh, yes.
And I have come here on those days, and it's okay. Most of it I like because you get to BS with people. Maybe you've been here and have that conversation.
And just like that, George Frankel disappeared into the ether of Woodstock. Next year, I'll go back and catch him to give him a proper goodbye. But in the meantime, thank you so much, George. And also, big thanks to Genevieve Hartnett for capturing everything, and Valerie Mancy for her humor and support. And of course, a big thank you goes out to Bethel Woods and Mackenzie Peck for giving us a fabulous tour of a place I hold very dear to my heart, as I hope you do too. Tune in to Catskill Character every Saturday at 10:30 for more fascinating stories from fabulous characters of the Catskills. Peace out.
Support comes from Two Queens, making life's rituals a little more fabulous with locally roasted coffee, tea, and bakery. Open every day from 7:30 to 4 at 90 Main Street in Narrowsburg and online at twoqueenscoffee.com. And from Country House Realty, a boutique brokerage specializing in the best of Sullivan County. Country House Realty, offering exceptional spaces in beautiful places. More at countryhouserealty.com.
Donovan, Linda Thompson, Clive Gregson, and more next time on The Wagon Load Among Kids with me, Graham Rice, on Radio Catskill, as we explore songs about cars. There aren't many, but they're good. So join me, please, for Songs About Cars on Sunday afternoon at 3.
I'm Jeff. Join me Saturday at midnight for Electric Mountain. 2 hours of house, techno, indie dance, and more, plus sets by top local, New York City, and global guest DJs. From the underground to the highest peak, it's Electric Mountain, Saturday at midnight on Radio Catskill.
In a crowded media landscape, public radio brings you something different. Amafuri is a traditional Japanese folk song. It's about a child that is caught in the rain.
Human stories and epic tales.
The water was very cold. There were constant waves, and the wind blew for 10 days.
Help keep NPR and this station one of a kind by making your gift today. Thanks.
Make your donation at wjffradio.org. WJFF Jeffersonville.